Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's getting caught up in that, but this particular show, thanks to our host, Dr. Clark, has said this is about, what did she call it, international grieving? What was it, Dr. Clark? Okay, come on. Show me yourself.
Wellness
you still have
intentional.
Wellness International or something like that. Anyway, I got caught up in it. I started thinking about all of the people that are around the world who go through stuff, but then I took a look at connecting us. I got friends in Turkey, Tanzania, Kenya, Canada, just a couple of states over in Chicago, North Carolina, and China. And there's one thing we all got in common, and I'm hoping that you're going to address this, that I didn't mess this up, but I miss those folks. And also, we have some history. So I didn't realize the grief and the loss that I was going through. I'm going to pick one because I haven't been dealing with this one in a while. Well, I'm sorry to single out one. I'll take Dr. Aranda. Yes, I'm putting you on blast because we miss you. And Mario Cavallo. They're on two opposite spectrums of the world. And Mario and I argue like dogs and cats. We differ so often, but we've been buddies. And he'd been over in China for 24 years, and we knew each other for 10 years before that. Yeah, do the math, okay? But there's some grief that I noticed that he was also going through, which he'll never admit, because he wants to be solid as a rock of Gibraltar. But how do you deal with grief on an international level? Dr. Clark, can you help me, please?
Good evening, everyone. It's good to be back. But let me help clarify something. So first of all, our theme for tonight was wellness is intentional. However,
intentional.
However,
so come on, let's fix this one for me. This won't be the first.
To make wellness intentional internationally takes a lot of doing as well, right? You must be purposeful if you want your wellness to go international, right? And so we're looking at those areas of wellness in particular, that would be talking about our social wellness. Remember looking at taking it internationally, right? How do we maintain our social wellness when we are thousands and thousands of miles away from those who we love and we care about, especially in these days and times where we were maybe accustomed to, you know, picking up the phone and having long conversations, or maybe we were accustomed to jumping on a plane every now and then and going and visiting them. Well, we know that those things have been compromised over the last 2.5 years, going on 3 years now, and we know that within the last couple months, they're starting to get compromised even more. So how do we maintain that part of ourselves so that the impact of the loss that we feel just from that distance does not overwhelm us and put us in a place of feeling stuck? So we must on a daily basis make our wellness have purpose and make it have some intention about it. So how do we do that? So that means we go back to that mindset, right? We have to make it a priority that living in wellness in whatever dimension that might be, whether it is our physical, social, yes, financial, our environmental, our vocational, spiritual, emotional, intellectual, it must be done on purpose. And so there is a way to maintain that connection. We have emails. Although our emails and our text messages, we have to be careful with those because oftentimes the way that we send them sometimes may not be perceived the way that we're giving them. And we may be giving them with the sincerest intentions of making sure that others are well, and we're giving from our end, we're sending it in sincerity, but we can't always be responsible for how it's getting interpreted on the other end. So if you're going to maintain your social wellness via email or via text message, we have to be careful with the words that we choose and the way that we structure our sentences so that they can be received in a positive way. We also want to make sure that in our social wellness efforts that we make sure that we are, first of all, being kind to ourselves. So get to know who we are in a social way. That might mean we can maybe date ourselves. We can spend some time with ourselves. And in spending, learning how to spend time with ourselves, we can then learn how to spend time with others who may not be right in our immediate environment. So again, even though they're international, we can still call, right? We can send a postcard. We can have something delivered to them as a way to say, hey, I miss you. Hey, I'm missing being connected to you. We may even send, if you don't send a text message, you may send one of those little funny emojis that may have a symbol to them that say, you know, that I miss you. So the distance of where we are, we can still make our wellness intentional. Yes, there is such a thing as international wellness, Mr. Brown. And so that can still happen. Any feedback for your friends over in China and over in Turkey about how you have been able to maintain some social wellness with them?
Well, I'm pretty sure my friend in China is just trying to wake up. But first, I got to thank you for playing what we call in baseball cleanup, okay, because you cleaned up my mess there and made it out of something. You folks have ever been to a point where your cupboards are a little bit bare and you got to reach in there and grab a few things to make almost something out of nothing to make sure you can feed the family? Well, thank you, Dr. Clark. Now, maintaining relationships from a distance, yes, is pretty challenging. And I'm glad that we still went there, and it has to be deliberate and intentional. Just like you said, you need to be a little bit more concerned about the words, because it's not just you possibly could say the wrong thing to offend them, but some of the countries, they listen to everything that's going out, and it could be misinterpreted, and your friend could wind up getting hung. So we got to kind of watch what we say. Just saying a good howdy do is pretty good. But, you know, and even just maintaining a relationship around the corner in another city or even another state. Let's ask our friend over in North Carolina in regards to friendship and intentional acts to nurture those relationships, even though they've been strained, because the grief and the loss is so powerful, you got to find the words. Our friend in North Carolina, are you there today to be able to shed some light?
Well, right now I'm very glad I got a good friend in California named Dr. Allie Brown, who I can kind of bump things off of. We may not always agree. We may agree on 10%, maybe 90%, whatever. But it's nice to have that to reflect, and it's nice to have a friend. Be it from a distance, we've seen each other on pictures, on Zoom conference calls, but I've never shaken hands and never pat each other on the shoulder and said, hey, I'm with you, dude. So it's nice to have that, even from a distance, not across the big pond, across the big ocean in the Pacific, but just to be able to pick up the phone and call. It's a great, great relief for me right now.
Well,
thank you
for that. Yes, and 5,000 miles is quite some distance. It's not just around the corner. So I think Dr. Clark is nailing it dead on. Sometimes we have to even move our egos out of the way to be able to orchestrate a conversation that is more meaningful rather than the superficial. Sometimes I call them superficial because sometimes our feelings do get in the way and we speak from emotion because most of us are emotional creatures, especially I think more so in this country than a few others. But at the end of the day, we also have to respect the fact that when our friends and family move to another country and they're going to stay there, they're called expats. But here's the other part. They adapt to a whole nother way of living. So this is why I'm encouraged by what Dr. Clark has said, because if they're adapting to another way of living, the styles, the way that you receive things, the mannerism in which you speak, does alter a bit, and it can sometimes cause a little bit of confusion, scratching your head. And rather than getting bent out of shape, Dr. Clark, what do you think that we should be doing if we see ourselves getting into a misunderstanding in the way that, because of the way that we're communicating?
Well, once we see that we're getting into a bit of a situation from our mode of communicating, that's where we need to feel confident enough with the person where that miscommunication is happening with and be able to go back and to approach them about it. I have found myself in that very situation here within the last couple of days, and I have not yet gone back to them because I'm really trying to be careful as to how I approach this situation. So I'll give a little background. I was in a conversation with someone, and I asked, they had sent me something, invited me to something, and I was trying to get some details about this event. And I didn't see it on the event website, and so I merely asked a question to make sure that I was right with clarifying the time. And I got one of those, look at the website. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm saying to myself, well, I did go to the website, which is why I'm sending this message, because I didn't see the details on the website. But I just said, okay. So then they sent me another correspondence about, so I got an email about something else related to them. And this particular situation, they would usually give me a heads up when, like, say, if a contract was coming and we needed to sign on it, right? And the last contract came from a certain individual. So when I got this email and it was a contract to sign, I didn't recognize the individual's name. So before signing it, I sent a text and said, hey, I got this contract to sign, but it wasn't from, you know, the normal person. Is it okay? And I got this whole thing back about if you don't sign it, there's no contract, and this person doesn't do this and that. And I was just left going, what? I kept going back to my message saying, what did I say? How did I say it? Because it just left me like, what did I do? So, yeah, when they reached out to me, I was just, like, very short with my answers, like, okay, I don't know if it's okay to say anything now at this point, right? And so then I get another email from them saying how uncomfortable they were sending me that email, but they were referring me to an article about showing up in conversation. Okay, what am I to do with this? So I read the article, and they wanted my thoughts on it. but I have not yet given my thoughts because I'm really trying to think about and coordinate how do I go back to them and say, you know what, that whole interaction was a little confusing to me because I wasn't sure what I said that, you know, brought about the response that you gave to me. And so, yes, in my discomfort, I just kind of got a little quiet. So that's something that I'm working on with that particular individual because that's, I'm finding that I've had those experiences on a few occasions. And I think it's just part of their personality and it's me being able to know that and not letting that type of personality have an impact on me. But then the other part is I need to share with them that that's how their personality is coming off on me and how do we get to a common ground with that because it is a relationship that has been very valuable to me throughout my life. And I would hate the fact that a misinterpretation in how a message is delivered would cause some dissension and some strife in that relationship. So we must get ourselves to a place where we feel comfortable enough to have those conversations and be upfront in expressing how the words that we read or the words that we saw or the words that were even spoken to us, what they made us feel like in that moment so that we don't repeat the same type of interactions to maintain those relationships.
Well, I hope that you have an opportunity to eventually get to a place where you can speak with that individual comfortable enough, for example, like maybe you would with a relative, okay? Because just hearing that, I'm picked already, you know? So I'm glad that you're talking to him instead of me because I'm almost ready to cuss him out, you know? But anyway, let me gather myself here, okay? But, no, tact and sensitivity is important. Sometimes someone has to be the bigger person because if you value the relationship, and for those of you who may think that, well, she's just kissing up to him, okay, she may be weak. No, she's being very calculated because she also said, I value the relationship that we have earned or put together over the years, but in order for it to grow, she's also being affected, and she has to calculate, okay, I'm going to address this, but I'm still going to do it enough where I'm sensitive to this person's potential response. And we know we can't read people's minds, but we all do have habits and tendencies. We'll talk about that part later, okay? But at the end of the day, you're going to be okay with them. And who wants to cut off their money? Okay, behind their emotion. That, you know, how many jobs have we quit just because our ego got in the way? And then we look up and go, uh-oh, what did I do?
Right. So what was in there? I also have to look at my financial wellness that I'm trying to maintain.
Exactly. Okay.
Right?
I mean, we all kind of read through that. I think my buddy in North Carolina, he picked up on that. What do you say, North Carolina?
Yes, I did, sir. Yes, I did.
Okay, well.
So we have a couple components of wellness that's built into that, right? My intellectual
you better,
wellness,
absolutely.
I have to maintain my emotional wellness. I must support in there. You know, there's a component of physical wellness that I have to maintain because I can't let the interactions impact me on a physical level. So there's several dimensions that I have to protect in this process because a lot of things could be lost.
That's right. Okay, folks, I hope y'all caught that one. That was one of those upfront live reality-based lessons, okay? So now I need to go back to this, what did you call it, intentional. But I'm still going international because when my friend left to go to China, I didn't like it. I never told him. I was ticked, but I knew he had to do something to take care of himself, and there was a lot of complications, but it didn't seem to matter because I felt as though not only had I lost something, but it left a void. We were doing business. that was a few paychecks we was getting all of a sudden that was going. So, yeah, I'm sure you guys are wondering, am I grieving because of the loss of the friend or because of the paycheck? A little bit of both, okay?
A little bit of both.
And that happens, okay? But how do I get past that? And do I need to even let them know? Because, Dr. Clark, the individual that you're talking to, they may be such a closed-minded individual, and we've dealt with those, that may not be receptive to worrying about how you felt behind whatever, you know, and that's usually people who have a false sense of power behind them. But so is it necessary to always let people know how you feel about something?
If how you feel, if not telling them how you feel is going to impact you, meaning if it's going to eventually over time kind of eat away at you and cause you to then build up some type of resentment. Because we can say, I'll let it go, and we can say, oh, no big deal. But then now that's going to be sitting in the back of your mind every time you have an interaction with this person. The tendency for it to come back up is going to be there, or you'll always have that thought in your mind, is it going to happen again? So if I get it out up front and I put all the cards out on the table, should it happen again, then I know that I've really done my part to remedy that situation, and then I'm in the clear about what happens going forward. Because I have made my intention known. And I went into that conversation with some purpose behind it. And so because I know that we still have work to do, and I still have a contract to fulfill, I definitely know that that conversation needs to take place. And it will by the end of this weekend, because we'll be in a conference together. So that conversation will definitely, you know, take place. But I must do it on my terms. And so part of my wellness is doing things on my terms. And so for my emotional wellness and for my intellectual wellness, it must make sense for me, and I must be able to do it on my timetable. And that's what I'm going to do.
Well, I'm convinced of that. There's no doubt. Let me get the commercial out the way before we prepare to wrap up. And I do have one more question for our elder statesman caller, since he's joined us today. Our show is being brought to you by Flashback Academy. Flashback Academy is designed to get our veterans off the street. How do we say we're a great country? We send people off to war, and when they return, they're left out on the street. I would make every effort that I could, and have been doing so, if I was America, to make sure that that's not happening. But we know that it can't stop there. This is why Flashback Academy has been working towards being the most sound project that is out there. And there are other companies that have taken a long time. So some of you folks who say, well, there must be a hole in it. No, because it's a stubborn mind. The politicians who are used to doing things a certain way are continuing to do it a certain way, and they're getting the same results. Sometimes you got to step back and take a look and assess, what may I be doing wrong? And don't ask the same people who's created the mess. Go outside of it. Anyway, so donations would help, and you can send your donation, even if it's a dollar, it goes a long way, to $ Flashback Academy, and the rest of it will take care of itself. Now, for my elder statesman, before Dr. Clark wraps this up, Mr. Elder Statesman, the reason why I said that, and I say that with respect, is that at 79 years old, there's a certain amount of wisdom one accumulates. And as you're listening to our show today, as you saw
Dr. Clark, as well as I, have experienced some challenges where she's taking a look at, she's going to address something uncomfortable. I'm going to move this to a national or international perspective because I think it'll probably be the same thing, maybe if it's around the, then around the corner. Because I can't see my friend overseas, 25,000 miles away. And I really don't want to tarnish that relationship where I lose what bit that we have, because to me, longevity does has its place just as much as something brand new can be exciting. But that longevity, yes, to be able to hold on to something tangible as it relates to a relationship. What do you say about people who are on the ropes with a relationship and they know they need to kind of swallow it or be calculated on how they're going to interact because they don't want to lose that long-distance relationship?
Are you asking me?
Yes, sir.
I value friendships based on people that are, you can disagree with me vividly, I mean, and very, very strongly, but I based the relationship on the whole picture, not just on one part.
Mm.
You have to look at the person as a whole, and not just because of this or this or this or this. And long term, that relationship is based on, can I sit down and just share with you some of the most intimate, deep thoughts and concerns and emotions? 79 years of age, some of you and your family accuse you of being passive. I'm not passive. I'm just know when it's time to say something. I know when it's time to shut up. And I know when people I can go to, and I can just say, I value your friendship. This is what I'm thinking. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. And certain people I can do that to. Certain people I would not even start. So I value the entire relationship with the person, not just one little part. You got to look at the whole picture. Because God made them in a way that they're not just one little fabric. It's not how their toenails look. It's not how their hands look. It's not how their feet look. It's what the person looks like outside and on the inside. That's my little soapbox.
Words of wisdom. Time to take it home, Dr. Clark. Thank you so much, North Carolina, in the house.
You're welcome.
I must encounter my questions, my doubts, and my fears. There is richness in these domains, and as I explore them, I don't reinforce my tensions, but instead I release them. And in this way, I transcend my grief and discover new life beyond anything my heart could ever have comprehended. Oh, the gentleness of new life.
Mm.
Until next time, give yourself room to grieve. Thank you guys so much. Talk to you Saturday.